Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Known for a lot of things, as being the front man of darts, as being the illustrator, Yeehaw the Boys on Instagram, for being a political commentator, political cartoonist. We have Dan Vernon. Do you prefer Dan or Daniel?
Probably Dan or Danza.
Dan's Vernon. Yeah. We have Dan Vernon here coming on to talk about their second comic book, A Few More Slices of Heaven, which seeks to bring a lot of magic to modern Kiwi life, where some might say not as much exists as we need. Good morning to you, Dan. How are we?
Morning, man. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm pretty chill. It's crazy going and having a cheeky look at this comic book and peering and seeing the sort of Kiwiana that you have. Where do you think your sense of Kiwiana that you present in this book sort of comes from?
I think it's definitely like rooted in growing up in a small town. I grew up in a small town called Pairoa, LMP. So I think just obviously growing up here and just being kind of rooted in that. And also, you know, a lot of my work is based around New Zealand politics and New Zealand stuff. So being able to just celebrate things that I actually do love as well, while also complaining about things, it's a nice kind of balance for the soul.
You got to take the good with the bad, you know?
Exactly.
New Zealand isn't completely awful just yet, but it's definitely not great with this government in charge. We'll get to politics in a second, but this is your second comic book. You've put out the first installment last year. What lessons have you learned about, I guess, publishing and books since you put out that first book, Slices of Heaven?
Well, I've done it all myself, so it's been quite a lot of fun, really. Mm. Like, it's getting to be direct to people and getting to talk to them and, like, hearing feedback from people from the first book, what they really liked about it, and, like, being able to do that again has been really nice. Also just having to learn how to deal with the New Zealand Post, because there's a lot of books to send out by myself, so I've learned the ups and downs of New Zealand Post.
Mm-hmm. What are the downs?
They're really hard to, when they lose things or damage products, it's really hard to get your money back from them. It's a whole big, like, four-step process that really is just grating on the soul.
Oh, man, that's dumb. Or I hope that doesn't happen with the launch of this new book.
Touch wood.
As you mentioned before, you've been making political cartoons for a hot second and sort of commentating on New Zealand politics through your illustrations. How did you get into doing that?
Well, it's kind of a happy accident, really. About 4 years ago, I was making a promotional comic for a show that Darts was doing, and it was like the orange voting guy, but in like really sexy, like kind of ripped body form. And then that kind of went viral, and then kind of just did more comics in the same vein of political commentary, and they just did well. And accident kind of just was a whole accident, really. It wasn't even my intention to do this, but kind of found a whole career out of it now.
Yeah, here we are.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know darts do have political songs. Were they was the band as political back then as it might be now?
Yeah, I would say, like, political in the manner of, like, experiences we were going through. So, like, dealing with, like, landlords and really bad flooding situations and, like, cost of living stuff. So I wouldn't say as directly political as, yeah, the boys can be, because that's more, like, focused on the actual politics of politics. That's just more, like, the things that we were experiencing when we were, you know, in our early to mid-20s of, like, renting and like awful housing situations, and then just like the general, like, kind of what you are seeing as, like, a, you know, a young person coming into adulthood, like the stuff around colonization and all that stuff. So that it just kind of naturally seeped into the themes of the songs.
For sure, man, for sure. I remember there's that track, One Out's Captain Cook, which I think got a lot of play on Radio 1 in 2020 at the time, because we used to have a venue called Captain Cook. Or the Cook.
Yeah, we played that song at the Cook, yeah.
Yeah, very fair. Very, very, very fair. Now, from the title alone, A Few More Slices of Heaven, there's a very strong sense of Kiwiana, if you will, but it's more updated, it's more multicultural. How do you describe that sort of modern Kiwiana that you grow up with, but you can also see, you know, in your day-to-day life now?
So it's just like, it's trying to find stories that are really kind of rooted in experiences that we all would have. So it's not like trying to just be exclusively to a generation or anything. So there's a couple of comics in there. There's ones like one about Bogans, for example, and just like, I think trying to find an angle that was different to, like, everyone just talks about Bogans being like drunk, you know, people that like racing cars. But I was like, that culture is a culture that's actually quite nice, that kind of will do anything for anyone culture, yeah, which I think is
very working class.
New Zealand.
He's very loyal.
Yeah. And that kind of like that neighborly vibe that, especially in the last couple of years, you kind of lose when there's a bit of division getting seeping into New Zealand. Mm. Forgetting that, like, we are actually really rooted in a culture that's quite, you know, we do look out for each other. We do, we'll do anything if we can, kind of thing. So I think putting a lot of heart into the stories is kind of the way that it kind of ties them all together. And I think that's like my version of Kiwiana, is like the people more than necessarily just like specific references to things that we grew up with.
More than just like buzzy bees and fucking singing, you know.
Beach towels and, yeah.
Do you worry about how maybe now, because of, you know, online algorithms, everyone's on devices, so on and so forth, that we're having a lot fewer sort of collective national experiences? Like, the last big thing I can think of might have been COVID, and of course election night, but yeah, do you worry about that much?
Sometimes, but I think that's a natural thing. I think there's like, we all go to school, for example. We all grow up. We have the experience of, like, most people that I've spoken to has had a Harold the Giraffe pull up in the van, you know. Mm. And you still, people, like, outside the cities, things are still very, still have that kind of community and that natural thing. I guess there is no real monoculture anymore, but I think we still, we tend to, I think, add a New Zealand flavor to things that may become big and stuff. And, like, I think with, like, TikTok and online things, it's given, like, a lot of Māori and kind of small town creators a platform, which I think is still very steeped in that kind of like New Zealandness.
No, that's very fair. I think the kind of Kiwiana-ness that I can detect from you, I also find it in Tom Scott's music, if you're very familiar with Tom Scott.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's I don't know, there's something like going to the Dairy. You know, the Dairy, that's a collective experience I think everyone has.
Yeah.
I think that's something that'll most likely pop up in your new book. I haven't seen that quite yet. But there is a lot of nostalgia in here. I mean, you mentioned Harold the Giraffe. There's talks about lolly scrambles and scholastic book fairs. I saw that in one of the promotional comics that you name-dropped Del Toro Quest from a scholastic book fair. Did you read many of those growing up?
It was more the case I really wanted my mum to buy them, and she would. But I did when I got them out of the library. I definitely was a Del Toro Quest, Animorphs and Goosebumps and all the classics.
Mm-hmm. How come your mum didn't buy you Del Toro Quest? Too violent?
She was a single mum on a budget, so I don't think she couldn't justify those book fair things are just punishing for parents, man. They're just candy for kids.
Yeah, they are. They're absolute money vacuums. I loved the Del Toro Quest. I think looking back on the writing, maybe the writing isn't super great, but the covers of Del Toro Quest are so goddamn memorable. Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, I think those and Goosebumps, I love the Goosebumps covers as well. Like, kids' books back in the day went pretty hard on the book covers.
Mm-hmm. They totally did. They really, really did. Judging from the sort of press lines, is this book going to be more chill and way less political than your stuff that you mostly put on Instagram?
Yeah, there's absolutely no politics in there. There might be like one small line of something, but it's definitely meant to be accessible and a celebration of what I love about New Zealand, rather than like looking at the problems of New Zealand. Mm. Mainly for, I want people to pick it up and be like, yeah, that's right. Like, this is, we're really a great country, and there are some really redeeming things about growing up here.
Mm-hmm. Including,
I think, you know, it's nice to have a break from all the
bullshit,
you know, gloom and doom.
Totally. And Prince Tuitika makes an appearance in this thing, And I guess I want to know what kind of significance does Prince Tuitika have to you, and what do you think is his place in New Zealand music history?
I think Prince Tuitika is one of our greatest musicians of all time. If you've grown up in a small town or like around multicultural, he plays a big part in that, and a big part of me growing up, I think, with like my mum and my extended whānau playing like him on CD all the time in the shed when they're having drinks, or just playing him on guitar. And he just has that natural thing that I really loved about like some of when New Zealand was starting to find its voice in terms of like entertainers. Him and like Billy T. James, for example, that would do both music but also like have jokes and skits in between their sets and stuff. The real like natural born entertainer. I think it's really, really cool. And in the book, it's just like I wanted to think what a New Zealand version of like the music biopic would look like. And I think Prince Tuitika was definitely one of the, I think, just a funny one to choose out of all the who you could choose from.
Who would play him in a movie?
Oh God, that's great. Probably an unfound talent somewhere yet. I think it'd have to be a homegrown talent.
It would. You can't. No, that'd be hard. That'd be very problematic if you got someone else to come.
You're right in the streets. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's dope. The only familiarity I have with Prince Tuitika is, did he produce Poye? Was his label the people who produced Poye? I'm thinking Delvenius Prime. Sorry, I'm thinking of Delvenius Prime.
Delvenius Prime, and the woman, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, who wrote Poye, also wrote his Prince Tuitika's biggest hit. So Prince Tuitika had the first ever like multi-language ever go to number one in New Zealand, and that was written by the same person who went on to write Poye as well. So they kind of have an interconnected like DNA, I guess.
That's dope. And I guess that's sort of a reminder of, Kiwiana can't really be a thing without Māori culture. It so informs our national identity, whether people realize it or not, or whether they like it or not, which, they should obviously like it because it's a great, beautiful culture.
Yeah.
How do you sort of explore, Māori culture in this thing and how it plays a role in Kiwiana?
Definitely in that story about Prince Tuitika, it's a big part in that, is that kind of, especially right now when we are a little bit divided and, te reo Māori and Māori rights are kind of under attack, the idea that a Māori language song could go, two Māori language songs could go to number one in the charts in the early 80s of all the time, kind of shows that we do love this part of our culture and we can accept it, and it is not that, doesn't need to be, we're not the people of New Zealand aren't the ones drawing the lines in the sand. It's like a select group of people.
Yeah.
And so that story kind of really celebrates it. Celebrates Māori culture quite a lot. And this is the talent, like the history of our performers and like that pub circuit of Māori performance that we kind of had.
The Māori show bands?
Yeah, Māori Volcanics, for example, yeah.
Really fascinating piece of history. And something that I didn't really know about at all until quite recently, because I'm originally from Invercargill, it's pretty Pākehā down there. Very Pākehā indeed. I want to move on from talking about the book just for a second. You mentioned that Darts is working on some new stuff. Can we speak on any release dates for folks out there?
We're literally about to go into the studio tomorrow.
So you're just getting into recording.
Yeah. Turned to Wellington about last week, and we've been writing and fine-tuning some things. And we're playing a show tonight here in Ponake just to kind of test the songs out and see the crowd reaction. And then, straight into the studio. So hopefully it'll be a third album next year.
Cool. Well, we'll love to see it. It's funny how live bands tend to do that. They kind of demo, or live acts I should say, they tend to demo some of their songs for an audience before sort of committing them to an album. It's very, very fascinating.
Yeah, we'd be a live band first before a studio band, like so we've got to see how they work and land with an audience. Otherwise we just kind of shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, that's your bread and butter. You got to make sure it's tasty as hell.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on the program today, Dan. I really appreciate your time. Do you have any?
I really appreciate you having me.
Do you have any final words, thoughts, opinions, considerations you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Not off the top of my head. If you want to grab the book, you can find it on my Instagram page. Otherwise, just have a great day, everybody.
Amen to that, man. Amen to that. Take care. I hope the recording process goes well, and happy holidays. Oh, do you have any New Year's plans? That is my one last question.
I think I'm just going to enjoy having some time off, because between this book and recording the album, I have not had any free time in the last kind of 4 months. So I'm just going to enjoy some sunshine. Have some beers in the park, I think.
Mean. Very, very Kiwiana yeah. New Year's celebration. Yeah. All right, exactly. Thanks, man. Take care.
Thanks, mate.
All right, folks, that was Dan Vernon. We're talking to Dan about his new book, A Few More Slices of Heaven, which you can find on his website, danielvernon.bigcartel.com. We're going to play some darts here. We have darts with One Out's Captain Cook, and we'll probably stay on a bit of a punky trajectory for a wee while. We'll have a bowling club update at 10:50, so stay tuned for that. I'll see you before then. Here's darts with One Out's Captain Cook. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked.
Pull into bottoms, I'm feeding some chicken and chips. Spot a statue dedicated to a who sailed a couple of ships.
Yeah, now, Siebs, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.